Community Radio. That's KFAI 90.3 FM in Minneapolis and St. Paul. And online at kfai.org. And so are you.
The viewpoints expressed in this program are the opinions of the people expressing them and are not necessarily those of Fresh Air Incorporated, its staff, or its board of directors.
What's up? This is Toolman.
And this is Bear Witness.
And we are the Hallucination.
And you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake, Best Of.
The Hallucination.
It's a good day to be indigenous. Get up,
stand up. They are going to become more brutal.
Courtney Cup, Henny Cup,
because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade. Hey, Kadagi to all my friends and relatives in four directions. You are listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot. Hey, we discuss local, national, Native news and events, and as you know, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues. Hey, today we're going to have our friend Dr. Stately stop by real quick and give us an update on the building and whatever else is going on in the avenue. And then we also have a new guest tonight, Indy Prairie Chicken, who's a nurse, and we'll be talking about many things from IHB. And so we're really excited about that. I'm wondering if I could bring our producer on and just talk a little bit before Dr. Stately gets on. And we're really excited. The fair is coming up, and I just want to give a quick shout out to everybody that's going to come out to the fair. You know, we're at the West End Market on Thursday and Friday. We'll be live at the State Fair, West End Market, and I'll be more specific, and you can see, you could look it up on, believe it or not, the map is on the State Fair website, and they have an unbelievable website. It talks about all the things that are at Native Roots Trading Post, so it's pretty exciting. And so that's happening Thursday and Friday, and of course on Sunday it's going to be Indigenous Peoples Day, and I always like to talk about that being every day for us. And so I want to welcome our friend Dr. Stately on. Great to see you, Doctor. Thank you so much for coming on. And
absolutely.
A lot going on in the community and a lot going on with the clinic. And that's get caught up. Good to see you.
Thank you. You as well. How are you doing? How was your weekend?
Weekend was pretty good. You know, we're getting ready for the fair. And so that it's mm-hmm. either we're at the fair or we're watching our grandkids. And I don't know which is harder.
I think what's harder is watching them at the fair.
Yeah. So that's why we're watching them, because then the kids can go set up the fair. But yeah. Are you going to be able to make it out to Indigenous Peoples Day?
On Sunday? I'm going to try to. I think, is it
Sunday?
This weekend. It's Sunday. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's likely that I won't, only because I'm headed out to South Dakota for a relative's. So. Wedding in Custer, Minnesota.
mm-hmm. In Custer, Dakota, you mean, or is it Minnesota?
Custer, South Dakota.
Oh, South Dakota. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you know where we kind of had that. Well, I'm Ojibwe. We didn't do it, but you know, some prairie people chased him into like Montana and.
Yeah. Exactly. Well, they ended up with a flag too that they are very
That's
proud
true.
Of.
That's true. Yeah.
And I'm excited anyway, that they have it.
Yeah.
And still have it. Yeah.
I'm excited to go. I'm going to take we're going to leave on Friday afternoon, and we're going to drive through the Black Hills, which I haven't been to in a while, probably since my kids were maybe like 8 or 9, I think. And then go to the Badlands too if we have time.
Yeah.
It's that first day we're there. The wedding is the next day on Saturday. And then we'll come home on Sunday. And I'm being a bougie Indian. I'm flying there and flying back because I just can't fathom a 9-hour drive two ways in 2 days. It's just like,
No, you're too old for that. For me,
thank you.
For me, a pack of smokes and some coffee, and I'm on it. But that was my younger years too. Ho-wah.
Yeah, I don't mind making those trips when I can, like wherever I land, I'm there for longer than a day or two.
Mm-hmm.
So like I was just in South Dakota, Rosebud, in July for 4 days for Sundance, which was beautiful. Mm-hmm. Beautiful. I love the space and the place there, and being among those relatives, it's just really beautiful. It's a beautiful place.
Yeah.
Peaceful. You know, there's all the things to love about it. So,
yeah. Speaking of the Badlands, the last time I was there, I was there with Clyde Belcourt, and he was talking about how they started, how Wounded Knee came about, and he was awesome. He'd have his pipe out and tell us the stories, and I was lucky kind of to have him befriend me in his later years when he was more of a grandpa-like person and not someone that knocks the doors down and doesn't take any crap. It was good to hear those stories.
Yeah. I knew him most of my life, but yeah, that's true. His last decade or two was a pretty nice experience. He would come to, you know, he was the founding board member of NAC. You look back and so NAC became an entity when I was on the West Coast still. And that all of those things that happened that created NAC was happening while I was living on the West Coast. It was a completely different time in my life, and I wasn't much connected to this specific place in my homeland, mostly as a result of, like, you know, my mother dying in the late 80s, and, you know, just all the for a long time I didn't feel like I wanted to be back here. It was a painful experience to lose my mother at 23 or 24, and so I hadn't come back until my kids were born, and then the coming back is, and being in the community and being back home and here in the, you know, in South Minneapolis and the surrounding area was like, you know, he was all grown up and so was I. And the last time I'd spent time with him before that was probably when I was a really young person, like in my early 20s. And I think just generally, and, you know, he scared everybody. Who was that?
Yeah.
I mean, I have good memories of him. He lived, you know, he would come to my aunt and my aunt Myra and his brother, my uncle, Les, lived across a driveway from us for a really long time. So Clyde and Pat and their kids, and also Vern and his family would come frequently. So I'd spend a lot of time with them growing up. But, yeah, he had that big voice, that big booming voice that, you know, would scare us.
Yeah. Well, I'd love the stories too about what did he call it? Confrontational work, where if you knock on the door, they don't answer. You keep knocking, and then if they don't answer, you knock the door down. And that's kind of how he was when his younger years.
Yeah, that sounds like him.
Yeah, definitely.
Sounds like him. Sounds like my Uncle Dennis and all of them. They were all, yeah, they were the kind of people that didn't take no for an answer.
Yeah. Well, we're glad, you know.
Yeah.
There's a lot of things on Franklin Avenue because of them not taking no for an answer.
Yeah. A lot of things in Franklin Avenue, a lot of things across the nation that were built off of the work that they had done, you know, and the work that many other people in the community did as well. So we're all better off for that, for sure. But you know, sometimes you got to knock a door down. That's just
saying. Yeah. Yeah, you do. Hey, well, I know we only got you for a short time today. I'd love to talk about maybe some updates of what's happening at this great clinic. And then later in the show, we had IHB coming in and taking your thunder away. So we want to make sure that you got some thunder going on here.
Yeah. I'm okay with sharing my thunder.
I know you are. Hey, we are here with Dr. Stately, and this is Native Roots Radio, and we'll be right back after this short break. Hey, stay with us. Ho-wa.
To our elders who teach us of our creation and our past, so we may preserve Mother Earth for ancestors yet to come. We are the land.
This is dedicated to our relatives before us, thousands of years ago, and to the 150 million who were exterminated across the Western Hemisphere in the first 400 years' time, starting in 1492.
To those who have kept their homelands, and to the nations extinct due to mass slaughter, slavery, deportation, and disease unknown to them, and to the ones who are subjected to the same treatment today.
To the ones who survived the relocations and the ones who died along the way.
To those who carried on traditions and lived strong among their people.
To those who left their communities by force or by choice and through generations no longer know who they are.
To those who search and never find. To those that turn away the so-called non-accepted. To those that bring us together and to those living outside keeping touch, the voice for many.
To those that make it back to live and fight the struggles of their people, to those that give up and those who do not care, to those who abuse themselves and others, and those who revive again, to those who are physically, mentally, or spiritually incapable by accident or by birth,
to those who seek strength in our spirituality and ways of life, and those who exploit it, even our own.
To those who fall for the lies and join the dividing lines that keep us fighting amongst each other.
To the outsiders who step in, good or bad, and those of us who don't know better.
To the leaders and prisoners of war, politics, crime, race, and religion, innocent or guilty.
To the young, the old, the living, and the dead.
To our brothers and sisters and all living things across Mother Earth,
and her beauty we've destroyed. And deny the honor that the Creator has given each individual.
Oh-ho! This is Dallas Goldtooth, and you're listening to the Native Roots Radio. Hoka Hicha Wicha.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot. Hey, welcome back, everyone. This is Robert Pilot, and we're here with our friend, Dr. Stately. And Dr. Stately, are you going to be at the fair Thursday and Friday at all? You know, we're doing a live show there, and it'd sure be cool to see you stop by and maybe get a free T-shirt for all the hard work you've done all these years at Native Roots Radio.
This Thursday and Friday? Or next?
Yes. This
I might be able to squeeze that in. I can't do Friday for sure because I'll be on a plane on my way to Custer, but Thursday I might be able to squeeze it in. We'll see.
Yeah,
you're only there those 2 days.
Yeah, and then I'm lurking around and watching what my kids are doing and from a distance with binoculars. And smart. we'll be there the 30th too with a Native Day, Indian Day at the fair, and so we'll be back and forth there. And You'll be happy to hear this. I'll be on NPR from 1:30 to 2:30 on Indigenous Peoples Day. So I'll give you a quick shout out there too.
Nice, awesome. I thought that's the place we don't talk about. But yeah, I probably won't be able to unless I can magically free up some time on Thursday. We'll see. I got a busy week and I'm leaving for South Dakota on Friday morning. And I'm going to go hang out with some Indians in a different fair. I think one of the things, I'm probably going to be like handed my, for saying this, but like, I'm just not a really big fair lover.
Oh,
I'm,
yeah, I mean, just, I mean, I've done it over the last few years, mostly because my kids were younger and like I would take them. So
yeah,
the last couple of years, I haven't done that. I've let them go on their own. Also, which, you know, I would lurk from a distance in the, like the parking lot, because I was anxious about, you know, all of the nefarious activities that would take place there sometimes. So I have a little bit of ambivalence about that this year, but I think it's going to be fine. That said, I'm not a big fair goer. I don't like really love to eat the fair food. I mean, I want to nibble on a piece or two, but I don't like, I mean, I don't, there's no reason for me to walk around with a big, huge pork chop on a stick, because I'm not going to eat the whole thing. Like, you know, I'm on Ozempic now and I don't eat any hardly anything. Anyway, it's just, you know, for me, it's about like, I do like to do things like go in the place where, like, you know, the state government has all of its things. I like to go talk to some of those people, because sometimes it's the only time I get to talk to them about some of their programming. And then my, I might also go and, you know, I'm not a big ride goer.
Right.
I think probably told you this story before. Like, I fell, I think, years ago when my dog dragged me through my backyard. I fell on the ice a couple of years ago, and I got some whiplash and maybe a little bit of like a concussion too. And ever since then, if I'm on a ride and it's a ride that goes too fast or too quickly, it does give me like some vertigo or like feelings, and it also gives me a headache. So I just don't go on big rides anymore.
Well, so, you know, it's a big people watching thing, and I know Wendy and I go there because, believe it or not, there are a lot of vegan options there, and we always love.
Yeah, there
are.
I mean, there are really cool things to do. I don't. I'm not particularly. I wouldn't say that I'm not happy in crowds. I'm not happy in huge crowds.
Yeah.
And I don't want to. Yeah. You know, I mean, you know this, because you're one too. You're an elder. I don't want to get like run over by people. And sometimes you get, you know, if you're not careful, you get run over by, more likely you're trampled by people than you would by a tractor. But the point being.
Yeah. Well, that reminds me of the old days climbing up on those old tractors back in the day, Machinery Hill and all that.
Yeah. I mean, I think I remember a few years ago, we like, it was fun when my children were really small and I loved it, and they still go even as adults. And, you know, I think I told you this, I'm going to be a grandpa here sometime this year.
Yes, Robert's a strong name for a boy. I just want to throw that out there.
Thank you. And then I loved to do the thing with the bean bags, you know, the flower sacks go down the thing. I used to love doing that.
Yeah.
All those things. I used to love to go and sit in the little thing where WCCO would have, like, you know, the little things they'd show up and you could sit in the audience or sit inside and watch the shows. So, I've loved all those, and, you know, I don't think it makes me a bad Minnesotan not to go, but I just...
Oh, you'll be there. Now, the way you're talking about it, you'll be there. So
I probably will, but I just probably won't be there when you're there. And if I do, I'll have somebody snap a selfie of me as evidence that I went. So.
Well, it's pretty chill at the West End Market where our store is, which I really like, because the fair could be just jam-packed people, and we have a nice, mellow crowd down there. And
yeah,
it's really...
I like your little location. You have the same place, don't you? Probably you're around the same place. Yeah.
No, it's exact same place. It's right next to the taxidermist, so it's Cowboys and Indians down there.
Yeah, I remember that. That was awesome. That was fun the last time I was there with you all. It was a lot of fun, actually. There was somebody that had a little teepee too, wasn't there? Or was that your little teepee?
That was our location. Wow, you haven't been there in 6 years then, because
it's been a while.
Or 5 years. The first year we had a teepee, and then if you remember, there was a major storm and it blew it down, and it was crazy. And so we haven't had a teepee since, because we had like, we used it for storage too, and people were taking pictures by it. It was pretty cool. It was a children's size teepee, so it was only like 8 poles, but... yeah, we're not doing that again. That was like, and then we never got it upright.
All I knew was too small for me to crawl into, so.
Well, yeah. I needed help to get up when I was crawling in it. Hey, so we figured that out. You're going to be out of town on the 30th, and you'll probably come Thursday and get a T-shirt and hang out at the show and do, because I'm doing the show live there. What else is going on? The building that you guys have is unbelievably beautiful. It's I can't wait to get invited to come in.
Yeah, we're going to start doing some, we're calling them sister org tours. We're going to be inviting all of our sister orgs throughout the cultural corridor, and of course all of the folks that are sister orgs across the Twin Cities, to, you know, handful of them and their staff to come and take a tour. We want to give them a tour of the new clinic. We also want to, you know, like make sure everybody understands, like, you know, what we're doing in that new space. And we want to help them understand all the different programs we have available to the people that they serve. And it's also an opportunity for us to strengthen partnerships and all of those things. And so it's really exciting. I think the first couple of weeks, we're going to sort of like just kind of, you know, we're going to have a slow opening and make sure that staff, you know how to move from point A to point B, because it's a much larger, it's twice the size of our current footprint. And so staff are going to have to learn how to go from point A to point B to point C and navigate the space, and they'll spend the time doing those things. We'll see probably a few less patients during those first couple of weeks, because we're giving more time to staff to be able to just wayfind and grow into the space and get comfortable and understand it better, so they can kind of be, help relatives when they get there. We're going to have like a soft opening or like a grand opening kind of type event that's going to be tethered to our Fall Harvest Fest that we normally have earlier in the year, like around mid-September 1st or few weeks in September, after the fair, because nobody would come if it was during the fair. And then we will give so our partner in that will Fall Harvest Fest will be Dream of Wild Health, be giving out fresh food and food boxes and also medicines that have been harvested through either some of our programming and or through our traditional healing program, for people to sort of have, you know, food as medicine, and also teas and other things that they can use for medicines as they end, as they close out the year and they move into winter. They'll need things like, you know, elderberry tea and all these other things that keep us healthy during like the winter months. Mm-hmm. And it's the opportunity for us to give small tours to people that show up at that event. They'll be brought into the building and been given little tours of the area. People will get to see the new art in the building and the lobby, which will be really amazing. Wow. I think one of the things I'm the most excited about, I'm excited about the whole thing, but I'm really excited about our community room, which is at the front of the new building on the west side. That's where a lot of our traditional healing work will take place, like our workshops, our regalia making workshops, moccasin making workshops, tea making, all, you know, the baby moccasins that we make for the annual baby shower. Those are all things that will take place in there. And other things we'll be able to host, we'll be able to bring our cedar ceremony back to our own organization and have it in our own lobby, which would be nice. Mm-hmm. Those are all really great, exciting things that'll be part of it.
So. Wow, how exciting. And, you know, you've been on the show for so long. This was just a dream just a few years ago, and great work for you. Good on you. And I know other people have really helped out too. This is amazing for Indian country and the Twin Cities.
Well, thank you. And next time I'm on, I can talk a little bit maybe about the housing. And I think probably what I'd want to do is invite our housing partner to be on that show. Yep. You know, NAC doesn't own and operate the housing, but we're working in partnership with that organization to provide deeply affordable housing and also supportive housing services to our relatives that need housing. And that is one of the most important foundations of health and well-being, is having some stability, a place to live. So.
Absolutely. We'll do that, Dr. Stately. Thanks again. I know you're busy, and I appreciate you stopping in.
Thank you so much. Take care. Hey. Eagle Admin.
Hey, this is Native Roots Radio, and we'll be right back after this short break.
Programming on KFAI is supported in part by First Avenue, presenting Kiernan and Luke Callen Thursday, September 10th. Kiernan and Luke Callen provide a 1-2 indie rock folk punch for this very special double bill at the Turf Club. Kiernan mixes folk and indie rock with a hint of country, while Luke Callen's songs of tragic comedy and hopeless reverie unravel tall tales, short tunes, and what's hidden underneath. Opening the show is J.E. Sundy. More information about Kiernan and Luke Callen at the Turf Club is available at first-avenue.com.
Hi, I'm Jane Fonda, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot. Hey, welcome back, everyone. This is Robert Pilot, and this is Native Roots Radio, and we are here with our friend. We're honored to welcome Arvina Martin, our political consultant here out of Wisconsin and all over Turtle Island. And, you know, I just want to say that you're a trailblazer who made history as the first Native person elected to Madison, Wisconsin's Common Council, and you also served as vice president of the Common Council in 2020, which really doesn't seem that long ago, but it is 6 years ago. That's I'm old. What the heck? That just seemed like a couple years ago. Welcome.
I always think that the pandemic kind of like changed all of our perception of time, and that it simultaneously seems like yesterday, but also like a million years ago. So, you know, it's weird to think of it being that long ago, but, you know, things are so different than it was back then. It wasn't that long ago, but just the way things change, it's crazy to see, And it certainly messes with my own sense of time. I don't know about you.
Oh, definitely. You know, being 65, 5 years ago is not that long ago. Hey, I got to bring this up. Wendy was playing Dolly Parton. She had talked to our daughter, who was very sad, and I was kind of stunned and that she was gone. I knew she was sick, but I didn't know in what way. What a great person for people to look up to.
Yeah, I mean, everybody knows her incredible musical talent. You know, she was a songwriter who, if you don't know, wrote the song Jolene the same day she wrote the song I Will Always Love You, which was originally her song. The Whitney Houston version from the movie The Bodyguard is a cover, but you know, Dolly always said that you know, Whitney owned that song, that she took it somewhere that Dolly didn't went in her version. And you know, it also is kind of a nice jump off point. You know, her songwriting and her musical skills. She was obviously a very talented singer, a guitar player. But she was also, you know, a quite a philanthropic person, and she did so much good for communities all across the country. You know, with the royalties that she got for Whitney's version of I Will Always Love You, she used that and invested that money into a Black neighborhood in Nashville, Tennessee. And she had offices there and was helping, you know, build that community up. And she referred to that as the house that Whitney built. So, you know, she was very, you know, she was very concerned about the well-being of her fellow human beings. And, you know, she also, a lot of people have heard about her literacy program where she would, you know, families could sign up and their kids would get books from her foundation throughout their childhood from a very, very young age to help promote literacy in youth. And before I jumped on here, I was trying to find information about things that she did, you know, in terms of contributions or philanthropically for Indian country. And, you know, as you can understand, every link that I tried to click that went to the Dolly Parton Foundation or Dollywood or anything affiliated with her, the links didn't work. So I imagine everybody in the world is trying to catch up on the amazing good things that Dolly has done. And the Dollywood Foundation actually expanded that literacy program. And I'm not sure what year, because again, the sources are kind of overloaded at the moment, but to 92 indigenous communities, which led to a partnership with the Bureau of Indian Affairs and helped them expand the program further into Indian country across the United States. So, you know, she contributed to our communities as well, to the literacy of our youth, and helped provide them with an educational start that they may not have been able to get. And I know people whose children have received books from the Dollywood Foundation. So, you know, she is absolutely 100% touched so many lives, not just through her wonderful music, her beautiful voice, you know, this iconic songs that are going to be a part of our collective memory. You know, but because she did good works, and not to mention, she donated over $1 million to Vanderbilt University, which they used to help develop the first Moderna COVID vaccine.
Yeah, that's right.
And I remember getting that, and I remember I got my vaccine through the Ho-Chunk Nation Department of Health. Shout out!
Yes.
And I was so stoked. I mean, I was stoked to be getting the vaccine, period, but I was very, very, very happy that it was the Moderna vaccine, because then I could say I got the Dolly vaccine. Thank her for all of that.
Let's talk just for a second about the song 9 to 5, but the movie 9 to 5, how empowering that was in the 80s. I do believe, and she was a big part of that, of course, with Jane Fonda and a couple other actors that are prominent, but that song and who she was, she almost played it kind of herself in that movie.
Yeah, and this is the point where I admit I've not actually seen 9 to 5. It came out when I was pretty young, so I wasn't really the target audience, but I still am aware of its impact and how it was part of the change for women in the workplace, you know, going from that 1950s kind of like Mad Men era where, you know, women employees would get a pat on the backside and, you know, or a pinch here and there, and were absolutely what we would now call sexually harassed and possibly even in some cases sexually assaulted as part of their normal work days. And she absolutely helped change that so that was not acceptable anymore. And I always think of that also with the movie Working Girl that I know I saw in the 80s when I was little, but I don't really remember as much. And I need to, I feel like I need to have a marathon now. But, you know, the song 9 to 5, man or woman, I mean, how many of us can relate to that grind, you know, of like, just, you got to go in and you're hoping that you're going to be taken seriously. The ideas, the work that you do being taken seriously. I mean, it resonates with so many people, men and women alike. Like we get it. We understand that she spoke to us. And you know, it's just such an iconic song and, you know, God bless every time somebody sings that at karaoke and everybody else sings along because they love it so much and know it well. You know, she's been a hallmark of the late 20th and early 21st centuries. And, you know, her legacy, like, we're only beginning to understand what her legacy is going to be. And I don't know for a fact, but I would not be surprised with the way that she has presented herself. My cat is walking across my lap, so the tail. I would not be surprised to hear that she would, like, if she gave more money to more organizations that she never announced publicly, mm-hmm. you know, because she was that kind of person. And I know that whether it was in her hometown or somewhere wanted to put I think Tennessee wanted to put a statue up of her, and she asked them, no, you know, you don't do that. You know, like, there's better mm-hmm. people to honor. So, and incredibly humble and not concerned about, you know, getting accolades for the work that she did.
Well, speaking of accolades, I always think it's important that people, not only the fans, but when people in your own industry really think you're great, which many, many people, not only we talked earlier about recording their music, but also, you know, recording the songs that they did and really talking about, I'm thinking of Miley Cyrus singing Jolene and many, Beyonce. Many other. Right.
He had a version of Jolene too. You know, these are cultural touchstones. And even besides, you know, the covers and younger generations covering that song, it's had an impact also in other more surprising ways. Like, I'm a member of a Facebook group on Facebook, obviously, called This Cat is Jolene. And it's basically people taking pictures of their cats who love their partners more than they love them. And, you know, it's a concept and, you know, it's beyond just a song, you know, right. It's just permeated through our culture in so many ways. I know there are so few people who have had the kind of impact, both societal impact and cultural impact, that she has had. And while, you know, she was 80 years old, so it's not super surprising that, and we knew that she was ill for a bit, it's still sad. And I am not afraid to admit that I got teary several times today, thinking about the things that she did, thinking about, you know, even just her being an inspiration for, you know, kind of like the work that I like and hope I'm doing, you know, and spreading hope and making sure that we all have the resources that we need in order to thrive and succeed. And to not know, it doesn't matter if you get credit. Does it matter if it has the impact? Yeah, absolutely. And that's what matters. And that's what Dolly was.
Wow. I'm so happy we did this this segment on Dolly. I really am. And I know Gwen was really upset. She had her sunglasses on. She was so upset in the last segment because she had just heard it during her news break. So yeah, it's shocking, and I'm glad we're talking about her, and I'm glad I'm talking to you. This is Arvina yeah. Martin, and Native Roots Radio. We'll be right back after the short break. Please stay with us. Ho-wah!
Hi, it's Dr. Evan Adams, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio. Hey, Victor, you better be listening.
In this portion of the show, we'd like to bring awareness to our wolf and bear populations throughout Turtle Island. Say no to the hunts.
Oh! Oh.
Hey, welcome back to Native Roots Radio. We're with our friend Arvina Martin, our political consultant directly out of the great state of Wisconsin, Madison. There's a couple things I want to bring up with you, Arvina. And again, I really enjoyed our last segment talking about Dolly Parton. So we have the state fair here in Minnesota coming up. And we'll be live at the State Fair on Thursday and Friday coming up this week. It's the largest fair next to Texas, which Texas's fair is 30 days and we're only 12. And there's a couple million people that go through there. And so we're really excited. And I just got to give a quick shout out too for Native Roots Trading Post will be out there. And then on the 30th, it'll be Indigenous Peoples Day at the State Fair, and so I'll be there with the circle tabling there, and of course Native Roots Trading Post will be right down the road. If you need any swag or any art or any puzzles, I've been doing Native puzzles too, and that's pretty cool. We have the Circle magazine, Arvina, coming out, and it's the State Fair. It's a limited edition State Fair back to school edition. And again, being a former teacher, it's that time of year right now.
It is. My daughter had her first day of school today at Notre Dame De La Baye High School in Green Bay. And she is a senior. So this is, you know, kind of our last first day of school, at least in this context. You know, she'll be starting school wherever she ends up. But you know, I don't know about you, but looking at everybody's first day of school pictures, I love it. On Facebook, when parents post or folks post pictures of their kids going to school, it makes me so happy. It's kind of like obviously it's a new beginning. It's a new beginning of a school year, but it represents so much more. And, you know, the path and the future of all of these young students and taking another step in their education and them growing just so much every year. And, you know, going through and looking at all these first day of school pictures from kindergarten on, you know, you just see how your child changes and everybody's kids change. And, you know, it's just so exciting because we need this hope for the future. And that's what the first day of school is to me, is reminding ourselves of there is a future that these children are going to inherit. We have to make sure that we are preparing the world for them. You know, very much along the lines of like the seventh generation and how you are supposed to be taking care of land, et cetera. But we are just the caretakers, and we have a whole lot of things that we need to fix right now for them. And it's a reminder. It's also a reminder of why we do that, because we want the world to be better for them so that they can just continue to succeed and things can keep improving. Things can, you know, it's so simple to say, keep getting better, but that's really what it is. And they're, you know, they're going to have their shot at being caretakers for the generation after them. And, you know, the best things that we can do is to prepare them and to prepare this world for them because they deserve the best.
Hey, Arvina, one of the things that, and I know you're busy, so you don't listen to Native Roots Radio all the time, but we have our friend Bob Blake from Red Lake who does a Solar Bear in the Solar News and Sports. But it seems like the sports is kind of leaning towards more Minnesota, and I'm looking forward to you to have more of a national lens and local in Wisconsin too. So there's been some really fun stuff happening here in this preseason of football and the Brewers, by the way.
What was that? I missed that last part.
And the Brewers are doing so well.
I mean, that's exciting, but we also, still have the heartbreak of last year of, you know, getting completely destroyed by the LA Dodgers, multi-million dollar team, or you know, beyond what our little small market team has, but we, you know, had a good run and are doing the same thing again now. And But I do have to mention, because I just spent the last couple of days looking at all of the content with and I'm probably going to say his first name wrong, Shiaj Pete, the Navajo man who was a walk-on player in college and now is, you know, played with the is on the Dallas Cowboys and got to play a game in Arizona. And watching him talk about seeing so many Navajo Nation flags and you know, other tribal nations that we're representing and seeing all of those Native faces in the stands, what an amazing experience, both for him and the fans, you know? And he is a young Navajo man who is unabashedly a Navajo man. You know, I saw a question where somebody asked him to describe the moment and in one word. And the word that he chose was a word in Navajo, not an English word. You know, it was Hojo. And of course, now I'm blanking on what that means. Apologies, Mr. Pete, for forgetting. But, you know, and he plays, his hair is long. He has, you know, you can see his braid poking out from under his helmet. You know, he was a guy that we can relate to, that we get, you know, he's like our relatives. You know, we see how he carries himself in public. And then to the team had him give like the locker room post game speech. And boy, was it like the Navajo Shakespearean of version of like, I'm Henry the Sixth, Henry the Fourth. Oh my God, I'm forgetting. and how he gave in that play that Shakespeare wrote, he gave his, you know, we few, we band of brothers, for those who fight with me today shall be my brother. And the speech that Shias Pete gave was along those lines, but at the same time, 100% Navajo informed, Navajo inspired. That was him from his experience talking about how his teammates are his brothers because of that star that they wear and how they went out there as teammates, but they came out brothers. And, you know, just like, I'm going to be honest, all I can think about is how the Green Bay Packers acquire him.
Hey, I was just going to say, too, the Red Sox, who have been red hot, have Anthony Siegler, and they just had a big, on the 19th, a big event, Native American Heritage Night, and he's really helping their surge. They've really come out of nowhere, too.
Oh, yeah, and I want to note that he's a former Brewer.
That's right.
So, hooray. I'm going to claim up on him too.
Yeah, exactly.
I actually had quite a few friends that were at that game and were just so excited. And the fact that, you know, he was out there and playing, you know, it's just such a remarkable instance. I mean, both of these two young men of being examples and that our kids can stand in front of the TV watching these professional athletes and think, oh, I could do that too. I mean, it's just so remarkable. And I'm so happy that our kids now have these guys to look up to.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Really great hearing from you, Arvina. Thank you so much for stopping in as always and having this chat, really meaningful chat. There was a couple times I got emotional and I appreciate you and appreciate all you've done.
Same here. Thank you so much for having me.
Hey, we'll see you soon. Hey, if you're listening to the show, you are part of the resistance. From Chief Plenty Coops, the ground on which we stand on, it's sacred ground. We'll see you tomorrow. Ho-wah.
This is Lady J inviting you to join me on the Blues Cruise, Friday, September 4th. We'll be grooving to the music of Steve Clark and Dorothy Doring, but mostly we'll be celebrating my recent award as Amper's Broadcaster of the Year. We'll party Minnesota style with boats, blues, and with me. the Broadcaster of the Year. Tickets are available at kfai.org/bluescruise for Friday, September 4th, 7:30 p.m. I'll see you there.
Hi, it's Dr. Evan Adams, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio. Hey, Victor, you better be listening.
In this portion of the show, we'd like to bring awareness to our wolf and bear populations throughout Turtle Island. Say no to the hunts.
Oh!
Hey, welcome back. This is Native Roots Radio, and we are with the Assistant Clinical Director of Indian Health Board, Indy Prairie Chicken. And before we get going here, I want to read something here. Let me see if I can find it. Yes, here it is. We have an upcoming event here at the Indian Health Board hosting an Elders Brain Health Gathering August 27th. The gathering includes health assessments, a health and resource fair, brain train culture activities, and a meal. The gathering honors Karen Badeau. Details, it's August 27th, 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. at the Minneapolis American Indian Center. And so that's awesome and so needed for the community. That's so cool. Welcome back again, Indy.
Thanks, yeah. And the event is going to be great. So we hope that everybody can make it down to the Indian Center this Thursday.
Yeah. And you guys have a new building that's being built. That's, I've been able to watch that grow. And I think I was at 2 or 3 years ago, the groundbreaking, and the governor was there, and it was quite cool. A lot of people there. And it's just so cool to see that really beautiful building come to fruition.
Yeah, no, I think even when we think about the history of the Indian Health Board, the Indian Health Board started because, you know, there was a woman, Gloria, who had experienced discrimination, and she died from a preventable illness. And Indian Health Board kind of started as a result of that, as a grassroots effort, you know, in response to what Native people were experiencing in the city. And so to see where we're going now, it just amazes me. And the new building will be open to patients starting September 22nd.
That's exciting. And talk a little bit about the, there's a kind of a teepee-shaped kind of cylinder on the building. Can you talk a little bit about that? I've heard so much about that.
Yeah, so as they were designing the Indian Health Board, they really wanted to be intentional about bringing in culture and tradition into the building. And so that front building is actually made to resemble a jingle cone, because we know the jingle dress is a medicine dress and a really important dress for healing. And so to kind of honor that, they made the front of the building resemble a cone.
Wow, that's very cool. That is so cool. And again, I want to remind everyone, too, on August 27th, that the gathering, the Elders Brain and Health Gathering from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. at the Minneapolis American Indian Center. So, Indy, let's talk a little bit more about, this is a thing that I really, for my family, everybody has high blood pressure, and it's amazing. And if you don't take care of it, sometimes that high blood pressure gets stuck at a number that's not good.
Yeah, you know, and I think with high blood pressure, it's often called the silent killer, because most often, even when our blood pressure is high, we're not aware that it's high. And so over time, you know, when our blood pressure is high, that puts us at greater risk to have like heart attack, stroke, other heart disease. So definitely I think that's why I kind of always stress, like, even when you are feeling well, it's important to kind of come see the provider. And a good time to do that would be like annual physicals, you know, and it just gives you opportunity to check in with your provider when you are feeling well. And then also gives you a chance to kind of know your numbers so that you can take, you know, appropriate action, whether that's lifestyle changes, including like, you know, nutrition or physical activity, or if that's you know, the discussion of, you know, starting a medication or, you know, changing your meds to make sure that what you're currently on is working for you.
Yeah, and then we talk too a lot here in Native Earth Radio, and I know you guys do too at Indian Health Board, about the traditional medicines. You want to touch a little bit on that?
Yeah, so at the Indian Health Board, you know, we, a large part of what we do is we, you know, we provide, you know, Western medicine, but also we honor, you know, traditional medicine, and we, you know, offer patients, if they, you know, would like, sweetgrass, sage, tobacco, cedar, you know, at their appointments. And so if a patient wants to, you know, take that home, they can, and, you know, kind of use that medicine as a part of a tool to take care of themselves.
Yeah, that's always good. And again, I want everyone to know how to get to learn more about Indian Health Board. Go to indianhealthboard.com. A lot going on. Great. So this is a really good question, because I'm married and, you know, I have a partner, and you know, how do men support women in their health? And that's something that we need to talk about too.
Yeah. So, when we think about heart health and overall wellness, you know, there's a connection with chronic stress. And so I think, talking about how men can support women, I think, you know, it's, you know, it's kind of like the practical everyday support. You know, often our women are caregivers and caretakers. And so, you know, it's even, you know, helping manage the household, I think, is like kind of one thing that, you know, can really take a load off for women. And so it could be as simple as even, you know, you notice the dishes need to be done. It's like taking care of the dishes, helping out with mealtime, you know, kind of taking the mental load, and which kind of helps alleviate stress from, you know, our women, our caretakers.
Wow. That's a really, really good point. And we need to be good to our relatives and to our partners and everything. Do you have anything else you want to bring up before we let you go? Because this has really been informative, and I'm really, really glad, Indy, that you were able to come on Native Roots Radio.
Yeah, thank you for having me. I think I just want to say that, you know, I think heart health is a family effort. It's a community effort. And so we just kind of got to be good to one another, be good relatives.
Yeah, definitely. So I look forward to you coming on every couple of weeks. This will be fun to catch up on what's happening at Indian Health Board, and really excited to be a part of your family and learn more about Indian Health, the board. So I really appreciate you coming on. Again, indianhealthboard.com for more information. Indy, any last words here?
No, I think I just want to invite everybody to come down to the Elders Brain Health event on August 27th, and we'll be at the Indian Center. So come and join us. We look forward to seeing everybody.
Wow, I really appreciate you coming on, and let's do this again. A lot of great information, as I don't know if you've seen, but a lot of our people that are watching us on social media have really been commenting. So really appreciate you coming on and talking to our relatives in a good way.
Thank you for having me.
Right on. Well, that's a total amazing. I just really appreciate whenever we get information about health, and especially in Indian country, really, really appreciate this. Again, learn more about IHB, Indian Health Board, at indianhealthboard.com. What a great show. A lot going on. We're going to see everybody at the fair. You'll be able to meet Misko in person. She'll sign some autographs, I'm sure, and some, I'll put her on real quick here. We only got 30 seconds left, but we'll have, you'll be signing autographs, right, Misko?
I guess according to you, Robert, I guess I'll be sending autographs.
All right, excellent. Hey, this is Native Roots Radio, and if you're listening to the show, you are part of the resistance. From Chief Plenty Coops, the ground in which we stand on, it's sacred ground. It's the blood of our ancestors. We need to resist, divest, join a group, run for office, join, and vote. We're still here. We are the seventh generation. See you all tomorrow. Ho-wa. Pinigi again for listening to Native Roots Radio.
Halusa Nation. We have been called the Indians. We have been called Native Americans.
You are listening to Fresh Air Community Radio, KFAI, 90.3 FM, Minneapolis, St. Paul, and around the world at kfai.org, non-commercial, community-powered radio.
Oh, it's bursting with ultrasonic.